And now joining us by phone from the south shore of Lake Superior, Larry Weber. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I'm on the other side of this massive lake. I imagine you look outside your window. You can probably see me waving back to you from the Upper Peninsula. Yeah, we're even in a different time zone. It's 10:30 here. However, everything is fine. It's a beautiful summer morning after a rather warm day yesterday and another warm one scheduled for today. We are now in the second half of July. The first half of July, we were considerably above normal, about 4 degrees above normal, and now it's slowly been dropping, so it remains to be seen what's going to happen, but I don't think we're for a record-setting month. Precipitation-wise, we got a phenomenal storm this past week. Oh, was that a beauty. That was on Wednesday. Oh, Jesus, that I've been waiting for such a long time. Like the last several weeks, they would either go north or south of us. Well, finally, we got it ourselves. A tremendous amount of lightning. It hit us starting about 8:30 in the morning, continued for the next couple hours, a tremendous amount of lightning. But after all that was passed, then we got a good hard rain, too. We got about an inch of rain, and certainly well-needed rain. The response to that has been interesting. I've been watching the berry crop very carefully, and I was afraid that the raspberries were going to start suffering because they weren't getting enough rain. Well, that has been alleviated, and I had some great raspberry picking yesterday. So it's quite good. And speaking of berry picking, this campground I'm at has ripe thimbleberries.
Mm.
Yes, eat your heart out. Yeah. Well, I don't think the ones in your area are ripe yet, but they're ripe here. I had some for breakfast this morning. So, yeah, a terrific addition to the blueberries, which are still hanging on out there. The patch that I've been picking, it looks like, is passed, but there's a lot of talk about how there's still plenty more to go. I think I'd have to move a little further north than where I am to see that. Other things of note, during my walk this morning, I noted only a few birds were singing. Only two warblers were singing. That was the black-throated green warbler and the red star, the only two that were singing. And then there were a few more. There was a hermit thrush singing and a song sparrow, robin. But overall, the bird songs have pretty much wind down now, and that's typical by the middle of July. Bird songs almost always stop. There are a few exceptions. Indigo buntings, wood peewees, and red-eyed vireos continue through much of the summer. But the reason for this, of course, is that the families have fledged. They've left the nest. They move on to other territories. They have no need for a territorial song as much. During my walk this morning, I came across a couple of these young birds. And then this past week, I was watching the emergence of some broad-winged hawks. That's really interesting. They are good size right now. They're feathered, but they're still hanging around the nest. In addition to that, this July, because of the sun and the warm temperature, has been just excellent for butterflies and continues to be. I had more species of fritillaries this past week. I think I talked about them last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great butterfly to get out there. See, it's such a variety. Most people don't know this, but the state insect of Minnesota is the monarch butterfly, which it's not official, and I don't think it's a good choice. I don't think it's a good choice because they migrate and they don't spend the winter with us and so forth. And not only that, it doesn't show much creativity. There's a lot of states that chose the monarch. So I think fritillary should be our state insect because they're widespread. There are several species that are all over the state. Wow, they're just a terrific, terrific butterfly. Okay. In addition to that, the insect world has gotten a little bit louder with the addition I mentioned earlier about a one cicada calling. That I call it the chipping cicada. Makes a noise kind of like a chipping sparrow. Well, they were joined this past week by the buzzing cicada, the other one. We only have two kinds in North. And they were both calling now. And then the katydid started calling. I heard the first ones this past few days. They start up rather slowly in the late afternoon, but then as we progress through late summer, they'll start calling more at night. Also, I had the experience of being where a mayfly emergence was taking place this past week. It was on the St. Louis River, and though we didn't have really huge numbers, it was still interesting to see these mayflies. In the world of wildflowers, the Joe Pye weeds are standing up now, very purple and gorgeous, easy to see in the swamps. Joe Pye weed gets its name because he was supposedly an herbalist doctor in New England. I believe he was of the Narragansett Indians. And he was so good at it that the plant was named after him. And so That's a great plant that's in bloom right now. We also see more butterfly weed than I expected. I have never seen a year more butterfly weed in bloom than this. For those not familiar with it, butterfly weed is a type of milkweed, and it's orange instead of the pink color of milkweeds. And it's really easy to see along roadsides because it's so orange. And, well, it attracts butterflies. That's why it has that name. And people with butterfly gardens almost always have it. We are now at three kinds of goldenrods blooming, three kinds of asters blooming, and three kinds of sunflowers. And I like to get both those asters and goldenrods up to about 10. Sunflowers, we won't quite reach 10. And
obviously, you're not an allergy sufferer if you want to get goldenrod up to 10.
I have my own issues, but that's not one of them.
Okay.
Purple coneflower just started to bloom the last couple days, too, which I thought was a terrific one. And then the basswoods continue to have just an excellent flower. Wow. They are the last trees to blossom.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people pass right by them. I wouldn't even notice it, but boy, they're just loaded with flowers. So I would suggest getting out and taking a look at that. And, of course, I can't finish talking to you without mentioning spiders. In addition to late July having a lot of things to offer, including more mushrooms now since we had the rain, it is also the time that spider webs keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And usually we see the webs in the morning when they're kind of dew-covered, and then we kind of lose track of them the rest of the day. A lot of times they get blown down in the wind. Well, the owner of that web usually sits in a little hiding place. Well, I'm calling you from right now a little phone booth that has the phone sitting in a little box. Well, guess who is sharing the box with me? Yeah, this is a Larinoides. Could you repeat that after me? Larinoides.
Larinoides.
Type of spider. They make a big circular orb web, and she is just sitting there patiently waiting for me to close the door. So, okay, so get out there and enjoy it. You know, it's just 2 weeks away. We are going to be ending the month.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah, so you know what else happened this past week?
What's
that? We started having sunsets before 9 o'clock.
I know.
So things are moving on.
They are. Thank you, Larry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Larry Weber joining us by phone from the South Shore this morning. He's a phenologist, joins us every Saturday right around 9:30 for the Weekend Outdoors.